Amen. So the theme for today is being a faithful steward. And our key scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2. And it says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. That they be found faithful. It's very important to understand that we live our lives in Christ, not because of anything we've done, but in full understanding that we have received of His grace and we are alive because of His grace. So it is the grace of God that has made you who you are today, not by any working of yourself. So in essence, it's not because you are handsome, it's not because you are beautiful, it's not because you are so smart, it's just because of the grace of God. So in essence, we have received grace and our whole life is sustained by grace. And this grace causes us to live for the glory of God. It's very important for us to understand. And because of this, we understand that everything we have is not ours. But in Christ, we have received everything. And we shall render account for all that we have received. Amen. The life you live is not yours. The family you have is not yours. The money you think you have is not yours. The very breath you are breathing is not yours. In the best interest of business, when we talk about stewardship, we are talking about the idea where you find a responsible person over the assets of an organization. And in the light of these assets, the responsible person is supposed to handle and manage these assets in the best interest of the stakeholders. So every stakeholder is literally looking onto this person and expecting this person to take the right decisions so that their interest will be preserved. But then when you come to the biblical terms of stewardship, what does it say? Let's look at what it means when we talk about the biblical essence of stewardship. I wrote here, biblical stewardship connotes to hold another's possession and to manage a household. When you go to the book of Genesis, Joseph in Potiphar's house, you remember how at the dream of Potiphar, Joseph comes and explains and then asks, who can do this great task? And then looks and the Lord lays on his heart and says, you young man, I will appoint you to complete this task. You shall have total responsibility over my household. You shall be the man of authority of everything except my wife. And the very understanding of that is what births stewardship. That Joseph was called to the place of stewardship. Over the household of Potiphar. Not that they were his, but he was to handle them and manage them in a way that would suit the best interests of Potiphar. Then we go on, even as I wrote, that it also means to properly use resources and to be effective ministers of the gospel. In 1 Peter, we see clearly that the gifts that we have received is not for personal interest, but for the common good. So we should be good stewards of that which we have received. So 1 Peter is teaching us that every resource we have is not for us. Neither chien bushinida, neither yifu bushinida, neither fangian bushinida, neither char bushinida. If you don't understand Chinese, I'm sorry. My Chinese is not so good as well. But the reality is this. Everything you have is not yours, including your wife and your children. You will account for how you treat your wife. You will account for how you treat your children. You will account for how you treat your parents. You will account for how you treat your siblings. Then it goes on to say that we are also supposed to manage and be effective ministers of the gospel. And when we look at the key scripture, it says,
Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And here Paul was talking about the gospel and was talking about the mystery in Christ Jesus. And he says that once you have stepped into Christendom, you can't afford to live your life the normal way. You are called to be a conduit of the Lord's glory. And it doesn't matter wherever you find yourself within the frame of the church, you can reveal the glory of God. There's a story of an usher. Do we have ushers here? If you're an usher, wave your hand. We have some few ushers, yes. There's a story of an usher who went to church in the U.S. And when she went to church, she was supposed to make sure everybody is seated well. She tried, she pushed. But it seemed that there was a packed day in service. So two young men walked through the door. Even as she was still sorting the place out to get people to be seated, to create more space. These two young men were not born again. So they stood there waiting for a while. They got fed up. They were leaving. They moved out, walking for about 10 minutes away from the church. And there comes this usher running down the street, shouting, "Come back! Come back! There is seat available for you. Come back!" And these two come back into the service. That day, 9 people give their lives to Christ. And among these 9 were these two people who were seated as a result of the usher running down the street together. One of them is known as the best gospel deliverer in the U.S. when it comes to crusades, Billy Graham. The other was Billy Graham's head of crusade organization. Every role counts in the church. Every role counts. Don't belittle what you are called to do in the church. Whether you're a keyboardist, I didn't ask him to stay, so I don't know why he's still here, but I'm happy. I'm not telling you to go away, but you can stay if you are led to stay. The PPT guy. The reason why we encourage PPT usage is many of us here have English as our second and third language. So to help people understand, he's such a huge blessing. We have the ushers. Every single duty counts for the spreading of the gospel. And you do them not thinking you are doing it for yourself, but you do them knowing that you are doing it for the glory of God. So in the light of stewardship, I highlighted 5 principal areas. The first area of stewardship can be seen over creation. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. God gave man responsibility over creation. That is why it is wrong to be throwing your bottled water in gardens and in other places. Turn to someone, tell the person, take care of the environment. We ought to be interested in the environment because God gave us responsibility over creation. You ought to be interested in your body because it's a creation of God. That is why exercising is important. Many of us, we wrote that this year we are going to exercise. I wonder if you are still exercising. Don't look at me. I'm saying it generically, but if you know you are the one, then it's for you. Take care of the environment. Take care of yourself. Because it's not yours. It has been entrusted into your care for a short while. The second aspect of stewardship can be seen with reference to time, over time. Look carefully, then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. How do you utilize your time? Turn to someone, ask the person, how long do you sleep? Ask the person sitting beside you, how long do you sleep? And the worst part is, we sleep knowing we have things to do. And the worst part is even with reference to this. Nidashwoji, you spend 5 hours doom scrolling, running through things that are just corroding your mind. But yet when you take the Bible, in less than 1 minute, let's do this tomorrow. You spend hours sitting with your friends gossiping. Hey, have you seen this new guy? Have you seen? Use your time judiciously. Make sure you are productive with your time. And it starts at a young age. Don't say, I'm a kid. Don't say, I'm not working. I'm a student. I can waste. No. Build a habit. One psychologist said, the habits you tend to do when you are single are literally the habits you do when you are married. Decide to be effective when it comes to your time. Spend your time wisely. Don't be too busy for your children. Some of you, you came here, you've not even called your mom, you've not even called your dad before. You've not even called your siblings. You don't care about them, you don't check up on them. But you have time for so many things. Video games, TikTok, and you're wasting so much time. But the Bible said, do not be unwise. Know how to walk in this season, because the times are evil. Anything that takes hold of your time takes hold of your heart. Decide to spend your time wisely. The third aspect, over your resources. Whatever resource you have, it's not meant for you. Remember what I said. We are conduits of the Lord's glory. We are channels of the Lord's glory. So the Lord uses you as a channel to bless others. Don't think of yourself only. Don't think of yourself only. When was the last time you blessed someone? When was the last time you were a blessing to someone other than yourself? The resources God gives to you are not just for you. They are for all who are connected to you. The Lord blesses you so that you can be a blessing. He doesn't bless you so that you can be proud. So Philippians chapter 1 says, think not only of yourself, but think of others. Look in your shoe drawer. How many shoes do you have that you do not wear? Look in your clothing cabinet. You have bags and bags that you do not use. But there are people that need. There are people that are trusting the Lord to provide. Think of others. Think of others. Start from your family. Is there anyone in your family that is in need? Look in the church. Are there people you can bless? How is your contribution to the church? Remind you, all this you see here is rented. So in the light of even your giving, the responsibility over your resources, how much of the conscience to be a blessing to the church by way of supporting the ministry of God comes naturally to you. And sometimes they may not come naturally. You have to be disciplined so that you do not forget. Write it down. this month, I'm going to surprise my mom. What's the last time you bought something for your mother? Every time, mommy, I need this, daddy, I need this, I need. But never giving. We must use our resources effectively. And some of us have a habit of just wasting resources. Shopping things we don't need. Spending money. You receive your salary on the first. By the 10th, you are broke. We must learn how to effectively manage our resources. What does the parable of the talent say? He who is faithful in little would be made responsible in much. You get your salary and the first thing you are thinking about is a night out with the boys. Going to sit at the pub. You declare for the boys, Oshé. Over your relationships. Owe no one anything except love. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Love. The Lord has blessed you with relationships. You have to invest in your relationships. Some of us are afraid to be committed. Some of us don't know how to be committed to one person. Some of us don't even know how to let those we are in relationship with us grow. One of the most unserious comments I've heard in my life: I don't want my wife to go to school because if she becomes too much of an elite, she's going to cause problems in the house. As a man, when you meet your wife, after some time, you need to make sure that she's better than you met her. As a woman, when you meet your husband, you need to make sure he is better than you met him. Let your relationships show that you were a good steward. And it begins with prayer. Many a times the Lord is laying on your heart to pray for someone. Have you prayed for them? Many a times the Lord is laying on your heart to bless people. Have you been a blessing to them? Or are you just arguing with them? And I say this a lot, but I know why I say it. Majority of the taxi drivers in the city don't want to pick you in their car because you are always fighting with the taxi drivers. You're always fighting with the Didi drivers anytime you go through a toll booth. Build and improve on your godly relationships. Be intentional about love. Forgive. Learn through the situation, but forgive. Over the gospel, we are called to be good stewards over the gospel. Where do you start from? Your family. Are you teaching your kids about Jesus Christ? Are you teaching your best friend about Jesus Christ? Or all you talk about is Arsenal? All you talk about is Chelsea? All you talk about is business? Do not be afraid to speak about Jesus. Do not be afraid to share Christ with those you call friends. In the light of being a biblical steward, I want us to look at this parable. The parable of the dishonest manager. If you have a Bible, I want you to open it. If you don't have, I want you to follow me even as I read from Luke chapter 16, from verse 1 to 13. And I read,
He also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors, one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This parable is seen in some light as controversial by some preachers, because it seemingly looks as though Jesus is encouraging people to be dishonest and to in some way to be wise in a worldly way. One thing I want to remind you about is Jesus always spoke parables in the light of drawing people to seek wisdom. So the Bible speaks that he spoke these parables so that in hearing they may not understand, but then they would pursue knowledge, stirred up by curiosity. And every single time Jesus revealed the meaning of a parable to his disciples, you realize that there was a focus, a theme. So he may speak a lot, but the single theme would stand out. So when you read Luke chapter 18, it speaks of the relentless woman of prayer who would bang on the door of the wicked judge. Many people would say, the wicked judge is God. No, there is no wickedness in God. But then what Jesus wanted to speak to us and clarify was seen explicitly mentioned, that we will pray and not faint. So anytime you are reading a parable, make sure to identify the theme and not be caught out by things that do not fall in line with the united frame of Scripture. So this parable again is not calling you to go and cheat your bosses at work. Kaima. So don't go and say, Pastor Perry taught us how to be frugal and how to be shrewd in the office. When I get to the office today, I'm going to steal from my boss. No. That's not what I'm doing. So then, what is this parable talking about? I highlighted 5 points. The first point, all believers are stewards of God's gifts, and we will be held accountable for how we use and manage them. Just like the manager who had a master, we all have a master. Do not think
Your life is your own. You will account for every aspect of your life. Both things that were done in the open and things that were done in secret. You will account for every word. You will account for every bad deed. And trust me when I say, your master is just. He is just to the letter. He is not partial and will make sure that to each the reward of his work is given. Have that in mind. The second point, we are to be wise and discerning in our dealings, particularly concerning things of eternal weight. The manager devised a strategy. A strategy that would cause him to be able to live beyond his time. What strategy are you devising to get you to be a good steward so that your life can be fruitful in eternity? So that there can be a reward for you in eternity? We need a godly strategy to live in this dark world. And what is this godly strategy? Holiness. What is this godly strategy? Obedience. What is this godly strategy? Love. We need to understand that we cannot live by chance. We must know what the Lord is commanding us to do, and we must give ourselves unto doing it wholly. There must be a strategy. A strategy concerning your family. A strategy concerning your work. Think on how to live your life for the glory of God. The third point. Material resources should be used to further God's kingdom and build relationships that have eternal significance. Your place of authority, your place of position should not be used to destroy, but should be used to build. Whatever the Lord blesses you with, use it in a way that you would get an eternal reward. One of the ways many people are wasting their monies now is betting. Betting. Taking bets in sports, gambling, and you waste your money and you are in so much debt. One of the best ways to ensure that your resources build eternal value is when they are used for the kingdom purpose. It may include giving offering in church. It may include paying your tithe. It may also include caring for the poor. It may include giving to the underprivileged. It may include taking care of your family. Build an understanding that you are blessed to be a blessing. The fourth part. It's important to show integrity and trustworthiness in all aspects of life. Turn to someone, ask the person, can God trust you? Ask the person sitting beside you, can God trust you? Many of you, if the Lord blesses you, how you live will change. If the Lord should bless you with wealth, how you deal with people will change. Even with the chicken change you have, look at the way you are treating people. If the Lord should bless you, and the worst part is the blessing of the Lord is what sometimes we use to walk away from the Lord. If the Lord should bless you with little financial breakthrough, even the way you talk to people will change. Be a person of integrity. How are you handling your very life? How are you handling your family? The Lord has blessed you with a family. And the best way to show integrity and right usage of what the Lord has entrusted to you is to prepare. You want to have a godly marriage, prepare. Sometimes the reason that blessing you are praying for has not come yet is because you are not ready. And if the Lord should bless you with it, you are going to die. Prepare. You want to run a multi-million organization. Start reading. Start learning. You want to be a preacher of God's word. Start studying God's word. There are courses you can read. You want to be a good father. Prepare yourself. You want to be a good husband. Prepare yourself. Don't just employ wishful thinking. I want to be a good student. This semester, I'm going to be a good student. But yet, you don't do anything about it. Do you have a time allocated for your studies? Do you have a time allocated for learning? The fifth point, it is impossible to serve both God and the pursuit of wealth. Let us prioritize our devotion to God above all else. It is impossible to serve both God and money. The idea of wealth is a byproduct of purpose. I'm going to say that again. The idea of wealth is a byproduct of purpose. Anybody who walks in genuine purpose will not lack. And when I say you will not lack, I don't mean you are going to have so much and it's going to be a waste. No. What happens when you walk in divine purpose is the Lord sustains you. And I love this prayer by David. Lord, don't give me so little that I may curse you. And don't give me so much that I may forget you. True wealth is when what you have is much in the eyes of the Lord, because you are blessing many people. You cannot, if you make money your objective and you are chasing money, your morals will be corroded. Because now there are so many people, for the sake of power, who are doing crazy things. There are so many people, for the sake of money, who are doing crazy things. There are so many people, for the sake of authority, are doing crazy things. God is not just interested in the end. He is interested in how you got to the end. It's not just about the end. The means is more important to God. If it was just about the end, Moses would have been a failure, because he didn't get to the promised land. God is interested in how you obey. God is interested in how you live your life than anything you would ever get. So as I conclude, I want to encourage you again. Be a faithful steward. Over creation, let us take care of the environment, starting from our rooms and our homes and our bodies. Turn to someone, tell the person, clean your room. Clean your room. It's not. You know, just clean your room. You can't be wearing one particular underwear 5 days. Hey, you cannot do that. You cannot go 2 days without taking a shower. Hey! Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Clean your room. The fact that it's not your home doesn't mean scrub the bathroom. If you can't scrub the bathroom, get someone to come scrub the bathroom. When you go to a classroom and the place is messy, clean up the classroom. When you go to the office and you use the bathroom, flush after you leave the bathroom. Be responsible. Be responsible, not just for you, but so that God will be glorified. When you owe someone, pay. When you owe someone, pay. Don't go and say, give me money, I'll pay next week. And you will not. The person will not see you. You block the person. Say amen. Over your time. Let us be intentional not to waste time. We must make time for God. Build a shadow. Have a good shadow. I started off with this and it has helped me so much. Someone was asking me, Pastor Perry, I realize you are always awake when I'm texting you. Because I wake up as early as 4 o'clock. I pray and I go back to sleep after I take the kids to school. But every single time it's still difficult to wake up. But I've told myself I will do it. Because what is at stake is greater than the sleep. I know what will happen to me if I don't pray. I know what will happen to me if I don't read God's word. I know what will happen to my family if I don't pray. I know what will happen between my wife and I if I don't read God's word. So I am disciplined. Have a shadow. You cannot complain that you had an F when you do not study. What sort of logic is that? You cannot complain about your company if you are not giving onto innovation and you are not giving onto hard work and productivity by the grace of God. The grace of God, encapsulated with your efforts, produces much. Give it your best shot. Don't be lazy. Every time, excuse after excuse, excuse after excuse. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. In the year 2026, don't be lazy. All the things you are aiming to do, by the grace of God, work hard at them. Don't be lazy. Oh, I'm feeling very hot. Over your relationships. Sorry, first, over your resources. We must use our resources wisely and not forget to support the church. You might be wondering why I'm speaking about the church in that way, because of what happened last year. And we realize we need to remind people that the place we are using is rented. So your giving is very helpful in paying for the rent. But as much as you can, don't waste resources. Don't waste. Some of you, when you're going to buy food, buy exactly what you need. Buy exactly what you need. Don't waste food. Because you have money, you are wasting food. Hey! And some of you, don't overeat. Because you can't doesn't mean you should. Learn how to say no. The fact that they are offering cake doesn't mean you should always take the cake. Over your relationships, let us be wise and show love in our dealings with others. Let us not take people for granted. Don't take anyone for granted. If you are in a relationship, don't take your partner for granted. Mean your words. Some of us have made sorry lose its value. Every day, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. 2 days later, you repeat the same thing. I think we need to change your name and call you I'm sorry. Every day you are apologizing. You go to the office and it's like your team. I'm sorry for being late. I'm sorry. Since the beginning of the semester, you have been apologizing. Let your relationships count. Decide to make your friend's life better. And there are some of us too who are finding it difficult to forgive. May the Lord help you to forgive. Yes, whatever they did might hurt you. But remember, God has forgiven you. And in that manner, you also forgive others. On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Over the gospel, as Christians, we must not be ashamed of the gospel. Defend and preach the gospel of Christ. We've started a course for single ladies to teach them about how to love the Lord and how to be given unto purity. And I encourage the single ladies, please join. You'll be blessed. If you want to know more about it, because it's a physical meeting, you can talk to Sister Dara. Sister Dara, wave your hand. You can talk to Sister Dara after service. It's going to teach you as a young lady how to walk in purity. Okay? Because mind you, not every man you are seeing in the church is a good man. Not every man you are seeing in the church is a good man. Some of them are here looking for sex just to waste people's lives and run away. So as a young lady, protect yourself. Think. Wise up. Understand what it means to be a woman walking in purity. Same as to the men. I also want to encourage you, the discipleship ministry. Join every Saturday morning. Join a small group. Every Saturday morning, 7 a.m. 7 a.m. Set an alarm. And if you are like me, who is very difficult to wake up with an alarm, put it beside your wife. If you don't have a wife, the Lord is your helper. But set an alarm. Join steady. And by God's grace, this week, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, on the second floor, I and a group of friends, we are going to be meeting from 12 to 3 o'clock. And I'm going to be teaching about godly foundations, how to be a good Christian. It's just going to be pure teaching. Don't come expecting lunch. There's not going to be food. So please, I'm encouraging, if you are free, talk to me after service. I'll get you registered. I'll get you the materials and you can join. But it's a 3-day intensive teaching program. It's the holiday. You don't have anywhere going, do you? So please, come, let's study together. Amen. And I also want to encourage you, serve in the house of the Lord. Turn to someone, ask the person, what are you doing in the church? Some of you just come to church and go home. Think of something you can do. We need more ushers. We need MCs. We need more sound engineers. We need more Sunday school teachers. Think of something you can do. Don't just come to church just like that. Decide to serve. But above all, I want to say this. Romans chapter 14, 10 to 12. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you? Why do you despise your brother? For we will stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. I want to quickly remind you, you will give an account of your life to God. You are not just here for nothing. You will account to the Lord. Everything you've done in body, everything you've done with your word, everything you've thought of, everything you've done in the open and in secret, you shall stand before the Lord God Almighty. Your works shall be passed through fire. And if they were not founded on Christ Jesus, they will burn. Some will enter into heaven, but by the skin of their teeth. coming to church is not enough. You must accept Jesus Christ, repent, and live a life for His glory. You must walk in full understanding that the life you live is no longer yours, but you live by the faith of Jesus Christ. You must understand that Jesus came to die for you, and He purchased you with His blood. Henceforth, you are no longer slaves to the world, but slaves unto God. May the Lord help you. And may the Lord continuously remind you, I will stand before the Lord. I will stand before the Lord. I will stand before the Lord. May the Lord remind you, I will stand before the Lord. I will stand before the Lord. I conclude, finally, with this saying by John Piper. And he said, to Christ belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. We receive the graces from God, use them in the way that He instructs us for the purposes of returning to Him the glory and praise that is due His name. So Christ is both the beginning of our stewardship, since He supplies our needs, and the end of our stewardship, since we use His resources to show who He is. Let's stand to our feet. And you want to pray in the silence of your heart and say, Father, grant me grace to be a good steward. If you want to sit down, you can sit down. If you want to stand, you can stand. But you want to pray and say, Father, grant me grace to be a good steward. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my relationships. I don't want to waste my resources. Father, help me to be a good steward. Help me to walk with You in understanding. Father, help me. And you know yourself, the part of your life that is not going well, the part of your life that is not glorifying God, you know it. Talk to the Lord and say, Father, help me. Everything you have must reveal the Lord's glory. Your academics must reveal the Lord's glory. Ask the Lord for grace to be a good student. Your business must reveal the Lord's glory. Your marriage must reveal the Lord's glory. Your health, how you take care of your body. Tell the Lord, Father, I need Your help.